Thank you, girls, and thank you, Abina. So you don't know whether I'm going to talk about purpose or porpoise, do you? That was great. I think it, you know, and what they came up with the lessons was exactly what purpose, finding your purpose or finding your porpoise, being less serious and playful, and all of that is very appropriate. We are talking about prosperity, and in fact, today is the day, the fourth Sunday that we're doing it. We're doing the fourth spiritual law of prosperity, which says you must seek, discover, and follow your inner purpose, or porpoise. Seek, discover, and follow your inner purpose, your divine purpose, sorry. How many feel like you know what your inner purpose is, your divine purpose? Some of you do. Yeah, I think I kind of do. Today we will share what Edwin Gaines says about divine purpose, what it might look like, and if we're so inclined to take on this fourth law, spiritual law of prosperity. We all decided early on, from here it looked like everybody bought into the, do we want to be more prosperous? And I think everybody raised their hand. Yes, we do. So these laws are what she came up with, what she found to work in her life, and then she wrote this book and gives us the benefit of the her experiences, her teachings. She has done very well. She is a very she says, I am a powerful woman. And she is very prosperous. We can with all materials, all ideas. Unity is a place. We're all students, you know, so we listen to these things and we decide what works for me, what doesn't work for me. So, finding your purpose. One of the things that she begins talking about that section of the book about is commitment and how important commitment is. I think it's one of those things that you know that. Of course I know that. We know that, right? But when you really, really think about it, I can't tell you how many times I've decided I'm going to weigh less, how many times I've decided I'm going to exercise more, how many times I've decided I'm going to be a good cook, how many times, you know, on and on and on. Anytime there's some good habit that I want to take on, I decide, yes, that's what I'm going to do. But I'm not sure my commitment is really there. And she says that the results that we get back are kind of directly proportionate to the level of commitment we have. So if we say, yeah, I'd like to do that, you know, but maybe I'll do that tomorrow. Or, well, except for this one. Commitment is very important. Very important. Well, commitment, I think, is one of those words that people often refer, it's a C word, you know. Commitment. No, because if we are committed to something, then we can be held accountable. And so we may not want to just step right out there and say, yes, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be smaller. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to be a good cook. I'm, you know, whatever it is that we are committing to, if we say it, if we really say it, then we are held accountable. She says, and I think it's kind of true, that there are kind of like levels of commitment, the wishy-washy thing, but many of us have at times, at least maybe earlier in our lives, been committed to survival. I have, in one form or another, you know, whether it was not enough money or thinking there wasn't enough money, or I was in an abusive relationship early on, you know, So committed to survival is what some of us have experienced. It's not easy then to, or I mean, it's not difficult then to see how, okay, we can take that commitment and move it on into, I want to be prosperous. I am committed to being prosperous. Yeah. It's a nice big step up from survival. We're all surviving, but we want to be prosperous now. She says then it isn't unusual then to consider that we can take the next step up, which is committed to be prosperous, but I'm committed to making this world a better place. Which then ties into finding your divine purpose. I believe in my heart of hearts that each and every one of us likes making a difference, making the world a better place in little ways, in ways that we, like I like to wipe up in the bathrooms. You know, when I wash my hands out someplace, I like to wipe the counter so it's dry for the next person. Who cares? I don't know. It's just something. Is that my inner purpose? No, I don't think so. But it's just a little thing. And how does it feel? Doesn't it feel good when you do something that's good, something that betters the world? I think we all feel great about that. It feels right. It feels natural. So a commitment to make the world a better place, I think, is a natural thing. And it doesn't have to be, holy cow, what am I signing up for here? It can be something very small. But if we can just first wrap our minds around making a commitment, I'm going to do this, I'm going to make the world a better place, we'll be better able then to move on into finding our divine purpose. It is said, talking about commitment, Jesus, I mean, even in the Gospels, we are to ask and then live as if it's already done, right? Believe, and it will be so. So from that belief, that is commitment. She tells this amazing story of a woman named Mildred. This was apparently, I don't remember now if it was the 70s or 80s, whenever Halley's Comet was coming through, if you remember, whenever that was, and she, Edwin Gaines, decided that she wanted to see it. She wanted to see Halley's Comet. They were reporting that it would be easiest to see that from the South Pacific. So she talked to God. She talks to God a lot. How are we going to do this? Well, she got a divine idea, which was to have a cruise. It was a spiritual success cruise. And if she could get enough people, then she would get her cost for free. She had to have 18 people. So she started announcing it. There was a little woman named, or there was a woman, I think she was small, Mildred, she said a Midwestern Unity Church that was there. I think it was the first Sunday that she announced that she was going to do this cruise, the spiritual success cruise. She announced that it was going to be $3,000 altogether, and she would need a deposit of $1,000. So at the end of the service, and everybody was leaving, and people were coming up and giving her checks for the deposit for this cruise. She got several people to say they wanted to go. Mildred was one of them. She handed Edwin a check. Later, after Edwin got back to her hotel room and was, you know, getting things together, she opened the checks and she noticed that Mildred's check was $10, not $1,000. So she thought, I think she made a mistake. She didn't understand. So she called Mildred and said, there must have been a misunderstanding. The deposit really is $1,000, not... And she said, no, I'm going on that cruise, so that's my deposit. I'm going to send you more, but don't, you know... Well, okay, so she said, all right. Well, and she did begin to get checks, $12.50, and, you know, just little bits. And so by the time the deadline for signing up, Edwin had her 18 people. She had $97 of Mildred's money by this time. So she called Mildred and said, I'm sorry. We are full now. We have all of the participants, and today's the day that we have to have the full fare, the $3,000. So I will send your $97 back to you. She says, no, honey, don't do that. Edwin says, I don't think you understand. You know, this, she says, no, Ed, there's a lot of honeys in the South. No, honey, you don't understand. So she said, keep that check. I'm going on the cruise. So Edwin says, okay, I'll pray about it. Got off the phone and decided that she would send the check after the cruise. Well, a couple of days before the cruise was supposed to leave, Edwin got a call from one of the women who was going. It turned out that there was some court case that she had to appear in, and she wasn't going to be able to go. She said, "Do you know of anybody who wants to go on this cruise?" "Yes, I do." So she called Mildred, and she said, "Well, I knew I was going. My bags are already packed." So, I know. Mildred was committed, and she stated her commitment. She said it, and she lived it. She was ready, and it happened. She had more faith, I guess. She believed even more than Edwin, who is the writer of the book. Pretty powerful. She says that it's important to verbalize your commitments. If I never say to anybody, "This is what I'm going to do," you know, if I decide not to do it, you know, there's no accountability. So saying it does provide some accountability, but it's important for the universe to hear it spoken too, because then the universe conspires to make things happen. She talks about there being stop and go signs along the way. How many of you have been on a path and you weren't really sure, is this the right thing to do or not? Kind of, lots. Yes. Well, I enjoyed reading what she said, because she does the same thing I do. She kind of watches for signs, you know, watches there. When it's a go signal, often there's a feeling, yes, this is the right thing to do. You had that feeling? Some, yes. You just know this is the right thing to do. So that's good. Sometimes there are outer signs. She had some examples, but one that I thought was just really interesting that this all came up. But when I was, the first time I was driving here to talk to the board about working here, some of you have already heard this story, but I was driving here, and so I asked the universe on the way. I was driving in my car on 70 coming, and I said, is this mine to do? And so I didn't drive much longer, and I looked up, and there was a road sign that said Wright City. Okay, very true. Okay, you know, so I'm driving a little further, and then I thought, okay, well, I wasn't specific enough, universe. I had already by that time decided I'm moving back home. I'm going home. So I decided I better ask about this. So I said, I know I'm going to move back, but I would like to know, is this church mine to do? I drove longer, no signs came up, you know, really hadn't, kind of forgot about it. And as I was pulling off 70 onto Zumble Road, a song came on the radio, some of you might remember it, "Go into the chapel and we're gonna get married." I got goosebumps, holy God. So those outer signs can be there if you ask for them. She says she asks for them, I obviously ask for them. What's required, though, is required that you have a connection, a regular connection with spirit so that you can pick up on those little things. So go signals are there by our feelings, by outer signs. There might also be stop signs, too. She talks about one that was, one that was really interesting was a piece of land. She had had it in her, it was her dream, it was her purpose, really, I guess, to run a retreat center. And there was land for sale, and she thought, this is it. It was beautiful. She put a deposit on it, wrote the contract. But then one thing after another started happening. There wasn't a clear property line, so they had to stop and redo the surveys or something. And then they were going forward, and then there wasn't a clear title. It turned out that they said, "Well, go ahead and sign anyway." And she said, "No, let's hold off." She realized as she was sitting with it that it's not flowing. Maybe this is a redirection. So she decided not to do that, at least at that time. And it wasn't too much later that she happened to be driving in Tennessee, I believe, and saw a for sale by owner sign. So she followed the signs. She found it. It was even more beautiful than the one that she had previously thought about. And that's the one she ended up buying, and that's where her retreat center is today. So sometimes the stop signs are if it just isn't moving. This is what I want to do, but it's just not going. Maybe it's worthwhile just to kind of pause and see, should I hold off? Should I go a different direction? Should I not do this? I think it's important to have both. When it's a stop like that, so things aren't flowing, but you don't have that I know this is right feeling. You know? I think about Mildred. Things weren't flowing for her. You know, it's just 2 days before the thing was supposed to leave, but yet she knew that she was going to go. So there are stop signs and go signs in our experiences when we have made a commitment. We verbalize that commitment where we're moving forward. When it doesn't come about, when there are those stop signs, rather than being upset about them, if we can, realize they may be there for our protection. You know? But I was interested. I hadn't noticed it when I read it earlier. This or something better was in the Daily Word today, and that's a friend of mine had an experience like that, kind of where she had put down money on a mobile home she was wanting to buy, and the deal fell apart. We had a mastermind group at the time. She came and she was so upset that night, and we affirmed for her this or something better. And the very next day she became aware of another mobile home that was less expensive, and it was even nicer than the one that the deal fell through on. So it may be the universe, you know, protecting us from something. So on this divine purpose or porpoise, I think it's extremely important to not make it real serious. You know? She writes that the days of martyrdom are over. You know, what you really want to do is you want to focus on what is your passion, what do you really like to do. So if I said to you, what are you going to do this? What would you love to do this afternoon if there were no plenty of time, plenty of money? You know, what would you really love to do? If you can follow your passions, that's going to probably lead you to the area of your divine purpose. And it needs to be fun. Needs to be fun. The porpoise being playful and not so serious. Your divine purpose. Sometimes I think it sounds like it may be, you know, heavy, and it doesn't have to be. A divine purpose is different from goals. When you set a goal, there is some tangible result that you're expecting will be the end result of whatever it is that you're wanting to do. That's a goal. But a divine purpose is more a way of living. I know people who have said that their divine purpose is to live joyfully or to express love, for example. So that's a divine purpose. The way that you can do that, you know, there are lots of ways that you can do it. A divine purpose probably isn't going to change that much as you go through your life, if it's the core divine purpose. So that's what we're looking for, is that one that is the way of life. And it's got to be fun. It's got to be fun. So, the four laws, spiritual laws of prosperity. If we were to decide that we want to be prosperous, we can embrace these. We can also, another plug here, we can also take part in a Prosperity Plus class that's going to be coming up. We're starting that in September. It's a 10-week class. I've heard wonderful things about Prosperity Plus. I think Kathy's been through it. Is that true? And had great things to say about it. It takes you even deeper into, I am going to be prosperous. if you decide you're going to be prosperous, there are these four laws that will really give you a jump start in making your way. The first one is tithing, recognizing that God is source and you want to keep everything in flow. Tithing is the first one. The second one is to set goals. You have to know where you want to go. We don't just get in the car, typically. We don't just get in the car and just start driving to see where we end up. We usually have some destination in mind, and I think it's the same in our lives. We need to do that. The third is forgiveness. We cannot receive when we are filled with gunk, with the negative energies, with the stuff that crowds us, crowds our hearts. So we have to forgive. We have to lay down all those grudges and all that. And then this fourth is when we can decide, this is my divine purpose. This is why I'm here. And commit to that, state that, and move forward with that. We open the gates to prosperity, to living full, rich, amazing lives. I want to share with you one little paragraph that she wrote that I thought was very true and funny. She's a Southern girl. When I first started my spiritual journey, I was looking around for the perfect guru who would smack me on the head with a holy stick so that I would be enlightened once and for all. I was so disappointed when I finally realized that exploring my spirituality and deepening my faith was something I had to do for myself, and there was no once and for all about it. Instead, it's a lifelong journey, and how you create the world you live in is not based on a one-time event. Instead, it is an ongoing, everyday process. So with that thought in mind, my wish for all of us is may you live long and prosper. Let's take a moment now, as we do each week, to make that connection with Spirit. So I would invite you to close your outer eyes, to allow yourself to relax. If you will, turn your attention to your breath. Notice the breath as it comes into your body and it goes as it goes out. And simply by breathing deeply and slowly, we relax our bodies even more. And it is in this quieter stage, this quieter place, that we can feel ourselves letting go, releasing the busyness, releasing the chatter that goes on in our minds so often, releasing our schedules of what has to happen next and tomorrow. We breathe and we relax. Simply being still and keeping our attention, our focus on the breath, allows us to be open, to be silent, to be that Christ, to discover once again what is already there, that wonderful, beautiful, blessed peace. The peace that is soothing, the peace that assures us that all is well. We find that we are filled with this sense of peace. We are safe, We are one with God. We also become aware of love. It is said that God is love. We are creations of Source, of God, of the universe. And so we inherit those traits. We inherit peace and joy and love. God is love, and we have opportunities to express the love that is our truest nature. All of the differences that our society wants to emphasize between us, the tall and the short and the old and the young, and all of those mean nothing. We are all one. We feel that oneness. We feel the love that has created each and every one of us. And it expands our hearts. We are able to drop fears. We are able to stand in the realization of our strength in this divinity, in the strength of the love of this divinity. We expand in love and as love. And this is exactly how we become the light of the world. We stand in our oneness, we stand in peace, and we stand in love. So as we do each week, let us take some time in silence to feel this connection, and to express, to be peace, to be love, to be at one in the silence. Each and every time we do this, we remember. We remember our oneness. We remember the infilling that we experience. We remember the connection that is there for us all the time. We remember we are never alone. We remember that we are truly loved. And we are grateful. Grateful that we do know, that we are aware. Grateful that we can at any time turn within, find that place of silence, of quiet, of stillness, that place of peace and love, and be recharged, and be re-energized, and be renewed. And so in deep gratitude and with much love, we come together now as we repeat the prayer that our master teacher, our way shower, Jesus Christ, taught us, our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.